Blog Talk Radio.
Ezekiel, I will be with you this evening. Annette Perraudeau cannot be with us this evening. She's had an urgent family situation. So let's give out some warm wishes to Annette and some love. And before we go any further, I just want to say thank you for patience with me out there. I have not had a scheduled show in quite a few weeks. I've been going through some personal issues of my own. And that leads us into the segue for this evening's show. I have the privilege of having Dr. Casey Crist here with us this evening as she shares her book, it's Relationships, a little black book on relationships. And I say here she is revealing her own little black book because she and her partner have gone through many of the challenges that we all face in relationships. This is a fresh approach to relationships that can also make your life a little bit easier, a little bit more fun, a little bit more relaxed. Some of the things she'll touch on is how flirting can save your marriage, how sharing can actually ruin your marriage, how to advance if he or she, how to know in advance if he or she will be good in bed. You know, creating a romance that can last forever in 10-second increments. That's right, 10 seconds. 10 seconds. You have 10 seconds in your life to create romance with the one that you love. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Dr. Chris Bond. She is the expert. She is the one who has written many books and is also a licensed facilitator of Access Consciousness. She's just, you know, out there in the world helping people know how to stay married and be happy as people. So let's go ahead and welcome her on the show. Hi, how
Thank
are
you,
doing, Dr. Chris?
I'm great. Thanks so much for that lovely welcome, Laura.
Oh, you're completely welcome and well deserved. Absolutely. I was just saying in the very beginning of the intro that, you know, part of the reason why, and you know some of this through Annette, because Annette has been handling communication with you, and I've actually had to reschedule you, but I've had my own relationship ups and downs most recently. So I'm really glad to have you on the show tonight, because I think a lot of us out there have been feeling a shift in energy and a shift in our relationship and a shift in ourselves. So, you know, your book especially focuses on the relationship of marriage. But I think also it tells us a lot about ourselves and how we communicate things to other people. So I found it very interesting in that way as well. Can you tell me how you actually got into the field that you're in, this, you know, honoring and helping field? That's what I call it.
Well, I've been doing that my entire working life. I started out doing therapy with emotionally disturbed children, and then I saw there were health issues behind that, and so then I became a chiropractor, and then I discovered mm-hmm. Access Consciousness, and that was even more fun, so I've been doing that, and it's really an opportunity to combine what I know about health and natural healing with what I know about relationships, and then also the experience of my own marriage, where I've been with my husband for 30 years, and we consider relationships to be easy and fun, which I finally woke up one day and realized, oh, that's not the reality of most people on the planet. Maybe we have
yeah.
something that people could benefit from hearing, because to us it's just
yeah,
so obvious.
Exactly.
But it is actually the greatest area of insanity on the planet. It's even worse than money. It's incredible.
I was just going to say that's the number one question I get when I deal with clients is, can you look at my relationship, or can you tell me who's coming into my life, or, you know, da 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 da. Everyone's focused on love and money. You're right, love and money,
right.
Especially love, because I think that everyone believes they need to be loved in order to make it through life. And you know, our idea of what that looks like sometimes is kind of skewed from the reality of what that is. And
you actually put it wonderfully. I was reflecting on what I might say, and I'd say it seems to me when I look at relationships on this planet that everybody's walking around with their own internal movie of what a relationship looks like, and then they find somebody who's willing to play with them, for want of a better word, and so they assume that that person is playing the same movie they are, only that
mm-hmm.
person's role that they've got for themselves is supposed to perfectly mesh with your role, only your role is based on your life experiences and their movie's based on their
right.
life experiences. And unless you're clones of each other, there's a huge difference between the two of them.
Absolutely. I'm going to raise my hand in class right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I am that person. I'm the person that says, here's my movie, fit into it. I've written the script. Please know your lines. So
right.
I'm guilty of that, 1,000% guilty of that. And I knew this. I knew this show. It's helping me already. So there you
cool.
go. But,
so how well did this system that pretty much everybody on the planet engages in, how well has it worked for you, Laura?
Oh, it doesn't work at all. it's not working at all.
Exactly.
I don't even have to, you know, hedge on that one. It really is I think a place where we come up with certain expectations to be disappointed, and we go around in this vicious circle of expectation leads to disappointment, leads to expectation. You know, well, if only you improve, if only you change, if only you, and we're not looking at what is it about me that has these expectations in the first place? Why am I
right.
not settled in myself in the first place that I have to seek
right.
outside myself?
Well, the truth is that expectations are really never your friend. Because if you have an expectation of what anybody's going to do, either they'll do it and you'll go, well, good, next, or they won't meet it, which leads to disappointment and anger and upset. So it really isn't helpful to have expectations of anyone. Now, it's a tough way. Many people find that a tough way to live in the world. They want people to be who they want them to be. But, again, does that work? Or are people going to be who they're going to be, not who you want them to be?
I really think it has to do with not taking responsibility for the self. And I'm
right.
saying that from my heart, because I think for me, and I'm going to use myself as an example because I have no other person to use as an example. I only know myself. So for me, there's a lot of loss that I'm looking to fill. And so I attach that to my significant other person, and I say, please fill me up. But I do that because I don't know how to do it for myself.
Okay, so Laura, are you an infinite? Are you an infinite being?
Right?
Are you an infinite being?
Yes.
So can an infinite being actually lose anything?
No.
Was there somebody else on the line?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So can an infinite being actually lose anything?
No.
So is it a truth or a lie that you have all this loss you're trying to fill up?
A lie.
Right. And whenever you have a lie, that's going to create an area where you're not clear. So whenever anything's sticking in your life, this is a tool you can use. You can say, okay, where's the lie here, spoken or unspoken? And the lies, usually, they're more likely to be unspoken than spoken. And they can be anything. The lie can be, oh, one person is going to meet all of my needs. One person is all I need. One person is going to give me everything I need. This person is going to be who I want him to be rather than who he is. There's an infinite number of lies. So you can keep asking yourself the question until you become clear of what the lie is. But whenever you find yourself stuck or heavy in any area, there's a lie there. So ask the question, where's the lie here, spoken or unspoken? So you haven't created clarity in this area because you wanted people to fill you up. And it's like, well, how do I fill myself up? But see, that whole thing was based on a lie that you needed filling up or that you had some loss.
Right.
You can't actually lose. Yeah, you can't actually lose because every single situation that happens, no matter how hard, painful, wrong, difficult, whatever you want to label it, every single situation that occurs creates more awareness and more consciousness in your part. So you actually, if you want to go win and loss, you always win because you always get more conscious, which gives you more choices.
Gotcha. I love this. And, you know, I have to honestly say to you that although I know what you're saying, I don't live it. And knowing it and living it, they're two different things. And even as I say that, I'm thinking, okay, I get what you're talking about. Does our audience get what you're talking about? And, you know, this infinite being, am I an infinite being? That's a huge question for people. That's a huge question. I can easily answer that and say, yes, I understand that truth. I've seen that. But how many people have, and where do they begin? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Most people know that they're an infinite being, but they look at their lives and they go, if I'm an infinite being, how come my life is so messed up?
Right.
Well, have you been functioning as an infinite being who has infinite choice, or have you been functioning as a finite being who has limited choice? All too often we make ourselves finite, usually to fit into this reality. And if you try to get relationships right from this reality, you've got a tough road to hoe because...
Right. Absolutely.
The definition of relationships in this reality, the script that's written to us that we're fed with Cinderella, the fairy tales and Disney movies and our parental expectations and all of that, it's impossible. It doesn't work. And I went through
it
that.
Up. It sets us up for pain.
Right.
Yeah, it sets us up for pain, but then we allow that. We allow it, too. We actually, in some way, feed that pain.
Well, sometimes we don't know there's a choice.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And one of the, it's not exactly stated in my book, but I do say that before I met my husband, David, my relationship, none of my relationships lasted very long at all. So from the point of view of this reality, I was a failure in relationships until I met him. But those failures brought me to a place where I could have a relationship with him that worked. So everybody that's listening
right,
is judging themselves because they don't have a relationship now. Would you be willing to destroy and uncreate all those judgments of yourself and think that there's something wrong with you because you don't have a relationship?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Oh, that's
and
a
so
good
I,
one.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
wow.
So how many
I
people listening
that.
Have decided their failures in relationships?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm one of them.
The thing is, your points of view create your reality. So if you think you're a failure
yes.
in relationships, you'll continue
you
to
are.
Create
mm-hmm.
relationships where you fail.
Mm-hmm. So
what if you didn't fail? What if you just learned something?
Well, that's what I was going to say. There really is no failure.
Right.
There is no failure in a relationship because all relationship has value.
Right.
All experience has value.
Yep.
Right, wrong, good, or bad.
That's right.
Yep. And I do know that. It's like intellectually knowing something and then mm-hmm. emotionally being in a different place. So that's another
right.
thing that I asked about, too, is there's so much emotion within the human experience. How do we separate that emotion? Now, I ask this as a sensitive because I feel things probably my volume button is turned all the way. Put it that way. It's turned all the way. So I try to avoid situations because I don't want to feel them because they're
mm-hmm.
so intense for me all the time. So how
okay.
do we function through that type of emotion?
Well, one thing you can do is if you can start to separate what of that emotion is yours and what of it is everybody else's. What if you were a psychic SpongeBob? What if you were like a gigantic satellite dish picking up the thoughts, feelings, and emotions of everyone else around you all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You picked up
yeah.
those sensations and you say, I feel this, and you think you feel that, and you act on that feeling, but the difficulty was upstream. None of it was yours in the first place. You didn't feel
right.
it. You perceived it. You were aware of it in everyone else's universe.
Yep.
I recently had a life-changing conversation with somebody that said, he said, well, was your mother angry? Yes. Was your father angry? Yes. Was your brother angry? I'd never
mm-hmm.
thought about that before. Yes. Was your sister angry? Yes. And so who's the only person in your family that wasn't angry? It was actually me. But even though
mm-hmm.
my parents have been dead for 30 years, I thought the anger was mine. So that's
right.
how thoroughly we can buy other people's
yep.
emotions as ours. So the way out of it is to say, who does this belong to? Because if you say, who does it belong to, and you immediately feel lighter, it's not yours. So think of one of those emotions, Laura, that you felt recently. Just think of one of them. And now when I say, is that yours, do you feel a lightness? Like, do you feel like the air gets less dense around your head? Do you feel a lightening in your body or more space?
No. No.
Okay. So how many decisions do you have to buy that all the emotion and all the trauma and drama around you is really yours, your fault, and you have to solve it, and you're responsible for all of it anyway?
I'm not.
You're not responsible for it, but you've bought that you are. True or false?
Right. True.
So there's the lie. When something's heavy,
yeah.
there's a lie. So the lie that you're responsible
okay.
for the emotions of everyone around you, will you please destroy and uncreate all that?
I do, yes.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Take it
okay,
away.
Okay, so I'm going to be a glutton for punishment. Think of another emotion that you've been aware of an intensity that you were mentioning. And I'm going to ask the question. You don't have to have an answer to it. Just notice if you get lighter when I ask the question, who does that belong to? Do you feel lighter when I ask you the question?
No. Nope.
Okay, so how many decisions, how many oaths, vows, swearings, fealties, commitments do you have to heal the emotional upset of everyone in your universe and the whole world?
I think there's a lot.
A godzillion, which is a number so big, only God knows what it is. Oh, so everything that is, will you please?
My solar plexus is in a pretzel right now.
Okay. So all those promises, will you please rescind, revoke, recant, renounce, denounce, destroy, and uncreate all that?
Absolutely. Take it away.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm laughing, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, good. Laughter is good. Laughter clears more than tears.
Yes, yes. We do have someone who is calling into the show right now. I don't see that
cool.
they have asked for a question, but I'm going to check in with them anyway because sometimes people don't know exactly how to use the system. So.
Okay, go for it.
Hi, this is Laura. Do you have a question? Hello, are you there?
Can you see me?
No.
We can hear you.
No, I can't.
Listening. I'm just here to listen to the show.
Okay. I was just making sure. Sorry about that. You go ahead and listen. Okay.
No, that's okay.
Thanks.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm always like, there is a button for everybody to push, so if you do call in with a question for Dr. Chris, the number to call in is 917-889-2854. However, you do need to select the button that you have a question, because I'm not going to keep bothering everybody and asking them if they have one. So so this is an awesome conversation, and I thank you so much for being on the show again, because I know that really in life, you know, one of the things that we are programmed to believe is that we need romantic relationships in our lives, not that we should enjoy them, have them, nurture them, grow them, but that we have to have them. It's a necessary element to who we are as human beings, for procreation, for status, for whatever. Would you agree?
We're programmed to believe that, yes, but
yes.
When you say that, does that make you feel light or heavy? You're nothing without a relationship.
Oh, that
is the point
That
is the point of view of this reality.
Right.
But what that leads to is anyone who's not in a relationship beating themselves up, and even people who are in a bad relationship have the point of view that a bad relationship is better than no relationship, because if they have no relationship, they're a total loser. So all the decisions you have that you're nothing without a relationship, and a bad relationship is better than no relationship, will you please destroy and uncreate all that?
Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm loving this tonight.
Cool.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, whatever you're doing is great. It's working, so keep doing it.
Okay.
I'm loving it, yeah. Sorry, I laugh when I get into like a higher energy space. Oh,
good.
I'm getting giggly. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. It's good stuff. So can you explain to us exactly what you're doing? What is it you're saying, and what does it mean? Because for people who have never heard that before, and I've heard you do that, and I've heard Annette do that, could you explain what you're doing?
Yeah. I'm being a little sneaky. There's a thing called the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement, which is right and wrong, good and bad, all nine, podpock shorts, boys and beyonds, which is a bunch of syllables that sound like nothing. But what they do is they bring up a whole bunch of energy that's associated with whatever issue we're talking about, and it just sucks it up like a giant vacuum cleaner and gets rid of it forever. So you don't have
nice.
To analyze it. The key part of it is the point of creation. We're going, where did this stupid idea, this stupid issue, this stupid stuckness, where did it start? And the thing that's wonderful is we don't need to know. The universe knows. We can say, hey, universe, wherever the seed of this tree is, go and make it go away, because if you get the seed to go away, you don't have a tree. So universe,
right.
go to the point of creation or the seed of this particular idiocy that I'm engaged in and just blow it away, would you please? And the universe does. It's not any more complicated than that. And I say destroy and uncreate because they have a different energy. It's kind of like different facets of a diamond. Destroy is one aspect of something. Uncreate something is another aspect of it. And when you have a bunch of promises like oaths, vows, and swearings, when I say rescind, revoke, recant, all that, again, those are like each one of those is just a different aspect of undoing this promise you made that's keeping you stuck. And none of this can take away anything that's valuable. You can recreate the same old stuff when we're done if you want. It just clears away stuff that you've been trying to get rid of but can't, kind of like that itch. You can't, that place in your back that you can't reach from the top and you can't reach from the bottom and you can't ever get rid of it psychically. This clearing statement does that.
Right. So as a licensed facilitator of Access Consciousness, can you explain a little bit more about what that actually is, Access Consciousness?
Well, Access Consciousness is an organization. It's a way of being in the world that's based on some really simple tools that really, really work. Like one of the tools is to ask questions instead of making conclusions. Because whenever you make a conclusion, nothing doesn't that doesn't match that conclusion or that judgment can come into your universe. And all kinds of things are judgments or conclusions that we don't realize. Like when you meet somebody and decide, oh, he's the one. Is that a question?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
It's a conclusion. Oh, he is the one. And he might be the one, but he might also going to be going to beat you. You can't see that because you've already decided he's the one. He's perfect. He's beautiful. He's whatever. If you live in the question, oh, who is he going to show up as today? That invites more awareness.
Right.
And it doesn't close off what you can be aware of. And you may have noticed, you know, people, I get more and more aware that people don't want to be told anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they ask a question, you can give them some of the information you have. But nobody wants to be told anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just ask them questions, you can create a lot more possibility than by telling anybody anything. So that's one key principle of Access Consciousness, and there's some amazing tools. One of the questions is, how does it get any better than this? If something bad happens, of course you want it to get better. Cool, how does it get any better than this? But if something good happens, don't you want it to keep getting better? So I found a dime the other day. Cool, how does it get any better than this?
Find a quarter.
Right, find a quarter. Find $10. Find a diamond necklace, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
have like a little trail. That'd be great, like a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to start finding things because that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is fun.
So consciously creating your life as you go.
Yes.
Okay.
Because if you're not consciously creating and choosing, then you're just following the programs that we bought, and you've already described some of them. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take us someplace, but it's not a destination we really want to go to.
I'm not going to take us someplace, all right? They're going to take us exactly where we need to be to not want to be there anymore.
Right. Yeah? And is that how you want to live your life? I'm going to bang my head against the wall so it hurts like hell so I can figure out I don't want it to hurt anymore.
What I say to
That's how lots
is,
of people live.
It's the truth. It's absolutely the truth. I
know. People are insane.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I feel it. I'm insane. I'm totally insane.
I know.
I don't know why, but I am. It's just sort of, I don't know, maybe I live in my head too much or whatever, but I think, honestly, that we spend more time analyzing everything instead of enjoying it, instead of looking for the aspects that are actually positive, we look for what's lacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So therefore,
like
we're
is the glass
we're
half empty or half full?
Right. Mm-hmm. And even though I could say that glass is not only is it half full, but I'm going to fill it up and then refill it. There's a difference between knowing that intellectually and doing that emotionally. And that's where I waver. I always waver on the emotional. So I have a question.
So what do you love about all this emotion you keep wallowing in? What do you love about it? What's valuable to you?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have to ask myself that and really think about it. What do I love about this emotion?
Because something that you might say you hate, if you keep creating it, you're the creator of everything that happens in your life, so you keep creating it again and again. So there must be something about it you love.
I must like to suffer. That's right.
Oh, great. Do you have to suffer to know you're alive?
Maybe I have a belief that I deserve to suffer in some way. That's what I'm thinking. That's coming up in my head, so it's going to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Or that I was meant to suffer.
Is that?
Oh, I know.
So, Laura,
I know.
That your point of view, that you deserve to suffer, or does it belong to one of your parents?
I think it's something that I adopted myself as a child.
Okay.
That I began to believe.
So
because
that decision
that
you made as a child, is it working for you now?
Uh-huh. No.
Okay.
No.
So all the decisions you made that you deserve to suffer, will you please destroy and uncreate all that?
I do, yes, absolutely.
Right, wrong, good and bad, all nine. Pod, puck, shorts, boys and beyonds.
Holy wow. That was a good one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love being candid on my show, and I love being the example, because I think we're all afraid of something. And we all have our struggles in life as human beings, and we come to the point where I said we go where we go when we figure out we don't want to be there. And
right.
At some point, we decide to turn the car around. And,
right.
You know, a show like this can help people turn their car around, because you don't have to suffer and you don't have to feel lost and you don't have to believe that you're unlovable. You know, I know the show is about relationships and the book is about relationships, but since it's such a human thing to seek relationship, I think that, you know, talking to some of those human blockages, I guess, that we put up, you know, roadblocks that we put up for ourselves. You know, there's programming, and then there's stuff that we convince ourselves of, and then there's stuff that our parents tell us, and there's stuff that, you know, our spouses tell us, but we're allowing all of it all along the way as infinite beings.
Right. But it's one thing to allow it, to be aware of it, but part of awareness is recognizing, is it yours or not yours? If you're aware of it, but it's someone else's, and you mistakenly believe it's yours, then someone else's points of view are running your life, and where are you in that equation?
Right. I mean, I spoke with someone today earlier, which is has nothing to do with this per se, but we talked about watching your own life from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to have that type of perspective on your life as if you can watch it like it is a movie. And being objective about that, and kind of having that ability to not have such heightened emotion about what happens all the time. Now, what do you think about that? Is that how?
You can do that, or there's an easier way to do it. You can just say every time you feel yourself feeling this emotion, you can say, okay, interesting point of view. I have that point of view. Because you got some point of view on the emotion. Usually a feeling of the emotion. Oh, this feels bad. I don't like feeling bad, so you resist feeling bad, but you do feel bad, and you just go around in a circle. Oh,
right. So if you
I'm having some anxiety right now.
Feel.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, have anxiety.
What if you didn't make any of it significant? Okay. I'm choosing this. Isn't this interesting?
Yeah. Interesting. It's interesting to me because, like, that intensity that I talk about that is I find it within myself is almost debilitating.
Yes.
It's almost debilitating. And
because you let it be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really trying to recognize that right now in myself as a human being.
Okay, so here's a way to get out of your head. Whenever you say, I did this because, everything that follows the because is a story, it's a reason, and it's a justification. And it's logic, and it'll keep you in your head. Just say, I chose that. It might have been
okay.
an insane choice.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, stupid.
But this is a new 10 seconds, so I chose that. That didn't turn out like I wanted.
Okay.
What am I going to choose in this 10 seconds? Now, choosing to have kids, that's a choice that lasts longer than 10 seconds, but most other choices you can change.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a really good point, because as my particular kids have grown and become adults, you know, now I'm looking at myself. You know, there,
mm-hmm.
who else am I going to be looking at? Because I was so busy raising the kids, I didn't have to look at myself. I didn't have to see what was,
right.
you know, what was needed there, because I'm very busy. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's how we do that. But then we don't realize that since we haven't looked at ourselves, we're really not teaching our children to look at themselves as well. So they have to figure that out, too, in their own way. I don't know why I just said that, but it's probably a... so this is really interesting, because it's about judgment for me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely about judgment of myself and how I grew up and what those pieces of me in the past look like to other people, definitely. Because
what difference does that make now?
It doesn't make any difference. I just have chosen to carry it with me. And
okay. So what if you had no judgment of yourself? What if you had made tomorrow a day in which you didn't judge yourself? Nothing you did was wrong. Everything you did was a perfect choice to get you to where you are now, where you can choose more consciousness.
It's lovely. It's lovely.
There's so much lightness and freedom in that. Because if you're not...
Yeah.
going to judge yourself for your choice, then you can choose whatever you want to choose, and then you can find out who you are.
Exactly. Nice. I think that I haven't given myself the time to do that.
Mm-hmm. And one way to get out of your judgments about yourself, or to say every time you have a point of view about you, go, oh, interesting point of view, I have that point of view about me.
Mm-hmm. So good. This is awesome to kind of put myself out there to say, all right, you know, I know other people are feeling these things about themselves. I know that they're confused about relationships. I know they're confused about their role in relationships. So, but let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the book and relationship, and not just about me, because I want people to get what they came for on the show. Now, there's the issue of creating romance that can last forever in 10-second increments. So can you tell us a little bit about that practice? Because we're always saying we never have time, but 10 seconds seems like pretty easy to do. So can you go further with that?
Yeah. Well, you're putting a couple of things together. One is, if you make choices in 10-second increments, that can create a huge amount of freedom. Because most of us do it backwards. We think we want to make the right choice because we think our choice is going to last forever. And if it's going to last forever, you sure want to do it right. You don't want to do it wrong. So you got to collect all this information, most of which is judgment, in order to make the right decision, because it's Lord of the Rings choice. One choice to win them all, and that's all you've got. If you say it's just a choice for 10 seconds, you don't have to do all that work. You don't have to do all that judgment, and you can just choose. And the thing is, trying to make the right choice doesn't really work, because there's this like zinger that the universe puts in, which is you can only know what's created by your choice after you make the choice.
Right.
Now, I used to think, I'm going to make this choice. I said I'm going to make this choice. I have to follow through. But if you make this choice and suddenly your guts feel like they're lined with lead, and you want to throw up and there's a lump in your throat, there's some pretty good signs from your body that this might be a choice. You might want to make a different choice than that choice for the next 10 seconds. And then if you feel much lighter, cool, that's a nice choice. Because here's a tool. One tool is if something's light, it's right for you.
Absolutely.
Here's an example.
It makes you feel lighter. Go.
I'm involved in this major talk about emotional turmoil. We're cleaning out our house of 30 years of stuff because we're moving to Belize, which is no big deal. I'll still be available in the U.S. and working from here. And so part of that is selling this African art that I have, because I have more of it than I can fit. And I was told about this possibility of a place to sell it, and I'm like, I kept thinking I have to go there. And then I had this debate, like we all do, well, why do you have to go there this afternoon? Is that the most important thing you have to do? David, my husband wants me to do this other stuff. How are you going to, you know, all that, yab, 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 yab stuff. And then, but finally I looked at it, and I just kept feeling like, oh, I should go to this place. So I walked into this place, and this woman started talking. I said, hello, no more. And she started talking to me about beads, which I love and adore and collect. And she fell in love with my collection. Everybody else has been totally disparaging about it. And it was like the most wonderful connection, and we have the possibility to work together and create a catalog and sell it. And it's turning into this humongous adventure, all because I was willing to listen to my own knowing. And it, there was just something, it just kept coming back to me. You've got to go talk to this woman. I'm going away for a month to teach classes on Monday. You've got to go talk to this woman before you go. And it made no logical sense, but I followed it, and it turned out wonderfully. And I even parked in downtown San Francisco, where a parking ticket is $65. I didn't even look at the meter. I was in there for an hour, and I didn't get a ticket. So how is it getting better than that?
That's when it's true synchronicity, right? Is when you don't get the ticket on the car because you've been there for an hour and a half. I used to do that whenever I drove.
I wouldn't call it synchronicity. I would say I created it, and I created it by listening to my own knowing and following the energy. When we say synchronicity or coincidence, we're really disempowering ourselves. We're denying the fact that we actually create everything that happens to us, quote, happens to us.
Right. Well, I think it's a lot harder to do that because with that comes a huge responsibility, right?
Right, but see, if you don't have any judgment, then, like the thing, the reason we resist being responsible is then we're going to judge that we did it wrong, we're worthless, there's something wrong with us, and we don't want to do that, so we don't want to be responsible, so we don't want to make everybody else responsible. It's like, yeah, you know what, I created this, and aren't I cute? There's no judgment. And if there's no judgment, there isn't the weight in the responsibility.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And I'm cute. Look at me go.
Yeah. I tell people I'll be blonde next week, you know. Sometimes I'm just incredibly ditzy. Okay.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
It is what it is. But, well, if, if we're creating for making decisions for 10 seconds and then getting to redecide, that's a lot better.
Right.
I like that one.
Yeah. It makes your life so much easier.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Yeah, I always say I reserve the right to change my mind.
That's right.
Just in case. Little, you know, a trap door for myself. But, yeah, I think that goes back to our idea that, you know, and I think it's shifting and changing a lot more now because I see a lot more what people might call open relationships or polyamorous relationships, or just people are inventing what they need for themselves instead of saying, I need to have X or Y or Z because this is how it's supposed to be. And marriage is forever. And if it's not forever, then, you know, it's for a year and a day. Or, you know, people have to decide for themselves. And I think that talks a lot to, you know, beliefs and what we want to believe, what we choose to believe. And, again, it boils down to responsibility.
So the word responsibility, does it feel light to you or heavy?
Responsibility feels good. Feels good to me.
Okay. Okay, so what does responsibility mean to you?
Responsibility is choosing to live an authentic life consciously. That's responsibility.
Okay. And what's an authentic life?
An authentic life is really trying to know yourself and being true to who that person is and allowing yourself to change and to grow and to try different things and to be different people, because you're going to change your, instead of staying stagnant in a certain place, or allowing yourself to say, no, I made a mistake, or yes, I do want that, in being bold enough to get it or do it, or
okay, cool,
change it or whatever. Sound good?
Okay.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I know I'm on my way because I have the realization of what that really is now in my life.
Cool.
I have that idea.
So
it's just how to implement it.
What if there weren't someplace you were trying to get to, which implies that you're somehow not complete and not enough right now?
Okay, on my way. Mm-hmm.
Right, on your way kind of implies a path.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like enlightenment,
right,
is out there in the future, something that if you're good enough, you might get
okay
there.
Yeah.
What if an infinite being is what you are now, and all we really have to do is remove the obstacles to your actually knowing it and being it?
Lovely. Lovely.
What if there were no journey, and we're just getting rid of the stuff that keeps us from knowing who we really are?
And then I would just be who I am.
Exactly.
Worry.
Oh, I'm going to get to the enlightenment, and then somehow my life is going to be better and everything's going to work. Okay, but if you use these tools, your life can work amazingly anyway, whether you're enlightened or not.
Yes. No,
and you don't have to get to somebody else's idea of nirvana.
Absolutely.
Which, for those of us who hate being told what to do, is a good thing.
Exactly. You know, I always say... I have to stop saying this now that I'm getting the gist of this, is I've historically said, I give really good advice, but I seldom ever take it. And so that's going to be out of my vocabulary now. It's more like a joke, you know. I think it's in Alice in Wonderland, actually. So that's what I would say to my clients, you know, to kind of make them feel more comfortable knowing that, look, we're all human. We all do things that... you know, we wish we didn't, or we want to judge, but you don't have to judge. And I've often said, my way of saying this is, there is no ascension. You're already at divine incarnate. So it's really exactly what you just said, which I love.
Exactly. You just have to be you.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you.
You already are who you are. And the freedom that comes with that, with allowing yourself to be that, is phenomenal, because I can see it in other people.
Mm-hmm.
I do see it in other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If you don't have to
phenomenal
prove you're smart or enlightened, then you can do dumb stuff, and you can just be like a kid falling down when they learn to walk. Oh, well, skinned my knee next.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Yeah, I'll be honest, I love it. I love talking to you, because you just... Now, for the audience, and my sake, too, now we talked about relationship before this marriage that you've had, and how your relationships didn't last very long. And how did you get from point A to point B? What transpired in your consciousness?
Well, the gift of the relationships that didn't last long were that it allowed me to live in the question when I actually met David. Because most people have this whole movie script. They meet somebody and it's going to play the whole script. But I never had anybody to play the script with, so I had to kind of step off of the script and live in the question of who was he really.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, when he met me, he was actually, he's 6 years younger than I am. He was actually with someone, he was 26 at the time, he was with somebody 41, and he wanted to have an affair over the summer. Her biological clock was ticking. He wanted to have an affair over the summer with a younger woman. He meant younger than him, but he got younger than his partner.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And but he told me after I met him, we'd been together a few nights, he's like, oh, at the end of the summer, I'm going back to this woman. And then I had a dream that told me, oh, well, stay with him anyway. And it didn't work out with that woman, and now we're together 30 years later. So,
right.
The gift of those relationships that didn't work is it really freed me from the expectations that it was going to be like a movie. And it allowed me to live in the question of who he was and all the things everybody thinks is true with relationships. I'd already seen that none of them worked and none of them were true. So I kind of went in with a much more blank slate.
I got it. That's amazing. Because I think that's happening to me right now.
Cool. So everything you and your listeners have made wrong about yourselves for relationships that didn't work, what if instead of a wrongness that were a strongness, that were a gift that could show you the way to create something you really would like? Everything that keeps that
Amen.
From showing up, will you please destroy and uncreate it all?
Yes, I do.
Right, wrong, good, and bad, all nine. Potpock shorts, boys, and beyonds. You know, I love this quote from Margaret Mead, who is a famous anthropologist. And she was interviewed by somebody, and she had two marriages which ended in divorce. And that person asked her about her failed marriages. And she didn't understand what the interviewer was talking about. She's like, what do you mean failed marriages? I had two marriages to husbands, and they were developmentally appropriate at the time. She didn't regard it as a failure. But we think if a relationship ended, it's somehow a failure, and it's only a success if it lasts forever. No, I still care about anybody that I ever had a relationship with. I still care about. I still wish them well. I'm not excluding them from my life.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them I'll probably never see again, and that's fine. So what if there were no such thing as failing in relationships? What if you just did what was developmentally appropriate at the time?
Okay.
Everything that keeps that from being true, destroy and uncreate it all. Right, wrong, good, and bad, all nine. Puck, shorts, boys, and beyonds.
Yes. I love you. You're just awesome. You're
Thank
awesome
you.
Because you're just like, let me help you. I can feel you from over here. Let me help you, woman.
You actually are asking great questions. Please don't judge yourself, Laura, because the questions you're asking are where people live. You know,
no,
it's really helpful to me for you to ask questions because I don't think that way. So when I hear questions of people, then I know what to sort of tweak so we can change something.
So what are the emotions that ruin a marriage?
Anger, rage, fury, hate, blame, shame, regret, and guilt for a start.
And jealousy.
Jealousy, too. You can't have jealousy. The person who's jealous controls everything, but they're controlling everything from a position of completely not acknowledging their own value.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm secure in my relationship with my husband and he looks at a pretty woman going down the street, I go, cool, he's hot, he's coming home with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fine with me that he gets turned on by her. It doesn't threaten me at all because I know the relationship I have with him. If I'm insecure, then I get upset.
Right. And what causes insecurity?
What causes insecurity? Well, like everything, it's a choice.
Yeah.
There's two kinds of people in the world. In Access Consciousness, we call them humans and humanoids. The humans are the people who would be happy sitting on the couch with the couch potato wand, watching TV all day, and they don't know what's wrong with you, that you're asking so many questions. Why don't you just sit down and be satisfied? Humans complain all the time and change nothing. Whereas humanoids are the people who are always blaming themselves for not fitting into the human reality, wondering what's wrong with them, how can I fit in, trying to bend, twist, fold, mutilate, staple ourselves to fit into this reality, but it doesn't ever work. Because the secret is, for humanoids, this reality is rigged against us. So everything we learned about relationships from the point of view of this reality can't work for us. So we've been trying to play a game that's rigged against us. And one of the ways we rig the game against ourselves is by always believing we're wrong. It's like the refrain of our song. Oh, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. Everything that ever goes wrong is my fault.
Yep.
There was a woman who did some classes with me, and she turned out to be kind of a mean, nasty woman. And I'd had her in class for 4 days. And I thought because I'd been her facilitator for 4 days, it was my fault that she turned out to be nasty. Now, this woman was 45 years old.
Yeah.
She has 45 days, 45 years to create being nasty in 4 days with me. But if she was nasty, it was surely my fault. Obviously absurd, but that's the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
So what if there was nothing wrong with you? And there's another question you can ask. Okay, what's right about me that I'm not getting?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, because that's where we as humanoids
What's
never
right
go.
About me?
I'm so, not getting.
Okay. Now, is human and humanoid your own words you're using, or where do they come from?
No, Gary Douglas of Excess Consciousness came up with those words. And some
okay.
people don't like the words. The words don't really matter, but have you noticed that there's some people
yeah.
who are willing to change, and there's some people who are always the same? Like my brother, for example, lives in a house that
yeah.
has the same floor plan as the house we grew up in the same town, Los Angeles,
oh.
a different suburb. But the entryway's in the same place, the living room's in the same place, the dining room's in the same place, the kitchen's in the same place, the family room's in the same place, the hallway's in the same place, all three bedrooms in the same place, and the bathrooms are in the same place. I'm
right.
like, I don't care how happy your childhood, when you grew up, wouldn't you like to live in a different house?
Yeah, wouldn't you like to experience something else?
Exactly.
Right?
No, for a human,
right.
not.
Oh.
Why are you always changing things?
Oh.
I had a successful practice.
I love change.
Exactly,
love
because
it.
You're a humanoid. Humans change nothing. They'll complain endlessly and they change nothing. And there's nothing wrong with that. If we didn't have humans, we wouldn't have cars. Humanoids will invent them, but only humans will sit on an assembly line and do the same thing day after
oh.
day. So we should be grateful to the humans, because without
oh,
them, we wouldn't
goodness.
Have cars.
Okay.
Of course, without the humanoids, we wouldn't have cars either, because humanoids had to invent them. But once we've invented them, don't make us do the same thing again and again. It's just way too boring.
So how does this work in relationships?
That's an interesting question. Most humanoids were programmed to pick a human to have a relationship with. And if you're
yeah.
with a human in relationship and you're happy, that's cool. I have my best friend other than my husband is human. I adore him when we don't live in the same town, but when he's in town, he calls me. When I'm in town, I call him. I adore him, and he's a human. That's fine. But the thing is, if you're a humanoid and you're married to a human, they're never going to really get you, because you're going to have this restlessness, this always asking questions that they just can't understand. It's like
right.
asking a cat to do algebra or something, you know? Just doesn't necessarily interest them. But
can
we were compelled to choose a human. What's that?
Right. Can there be a way to figure that out? I mean, if you're aware of that situation and you can
yeah.
appreciate the human quality of the human person
yeah.
and you can recognize yourself as a humanoid who just needs other stimulation,
mm-hmm.
can you find
yeah, you can
that?
Do that.
I mean, because, yeah, right?
You can do that, but if you're not in a relationship now, you might want to look for a humanoid. So how do you tell
right.
a human from a humanoid? First, you can ask, okay, think of somebody. Are they human or humanoid? Which one feels lighter to you? That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can look at that person's life and you can say, okay, when things go wrong in their life, do they blame the government, the regulations, the economy, the neighborhood, the industry, and everyone else? That would be a human.
Mm-hmm.
Or a humanoid would say, I don't know what was wrong with me. I just couldn't make that business work. Who do
right.
they blame?
They look at themselves. Mm-hmm.
The humanoid will blame themselves every single time. The human will blame everybody else and never take any responsibility.
Right.
That word you like. So that's another way. And another way to find out if someone's human or humanoid is say, okay, how does it get any better than this? A humanoid will look for the answer. They'll look for, well, how does it get any better? Like I know somebody
right.
was stopped for speeding by a Texas Ranger, and she said, oh, how does it get any better than this? And she must have gotten the humanoid cop because he lowered the speed he'd clocked her at and saved her $100.
Nice.
A human will say, this is as good as it gets. It doesn't get any better
exactly.
than this.
It doesn't get
That's
any
That's what a
better.
Human will say.
This is it. This is the
yep.
end.
Yep.
Under the road, right here. Go no further. And I'm cracking up because imagine that being all you wanted.
Right.
Imagine that.
Right.
That's shocking to me.
Exactly.
How could we?
Because it's not who you are.
Yeah. All that you wanted was to just be and never go
yeah.
anywhere or do anything or experience anything or see anything or taste anything,
yeah.
really, because you're going to eat the same meal out of the same. It reminds me of Fight Club with the single serving single serving friends and the single serving meals and the single serving containers. And I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but it's about how everything is has its place and its status and the way it's supposed to be. And it's basically
That's a human point of view.
Yeah.
A human ought to come in and rearrange it all.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Shake it up.
Yep.
Shake it up. Let's paint the walls pink today. Tomorrow they'll be purple.
Yeah, exactly.
And then maybe blue. And then, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I like it. That's perfect. So what suggestions do you have for the audience out there who's listening right now and may or may not really get the concept we're talking about, but want to take some first steps on improving their life or their relationship? Or, you know, when I say relationship, I kind of balk at that. Not that we're not talking about relationship, but I believe it starts with each person and not in the relationship. But
the word relationship by definition means a distance between two points. Like we talk about the relationship between the earth and the moon.
Mm-hmm.
There always
has
to be distance in a relationship. What people are really looking for is communion, which is a being with, but you can't have a communion with a person. That's a relationship. You have to have communion with everything, where everything talks to you. You can perceive everything and receive everything without judgment. And if you, you have to start with having that for yourself. But some tools to get there, I've mentioned a whole bunch of them, but I can recap them. That's easy. So if you want to get out of judgment of yourself, which is a great first step, you can say, interesting point of view is the way out of judgment of anything. So if you have a thought about somebody, interesting point of view, I have that point of view. And we have the most points of view about ourselves. So interesting point of view, I have that point of view about me. You can start making your choices in 10-second increments instead of forever. You can ask questions of what's going on with the other person instead of concluding that you know. And if you're somebody who's not in a relationship and you'd like to have one and you don't know why you can't, if you'll just take a piece of paper and say, if you're a man and you're looking for a woman, okay, the trouble with women is, and write down all of the things that are wrong with women, and then look at every single one of those that's a judgment, and pock and pod, which is short for right, wrong, good, and bad, all nine, pod, puck, shorts, boys, and bads. Okay, pock and pod that. Go through the list. Come back to the top. Does it still seem true? Okay, pock and pod again. And once you write them all down, you know, you might see that, well, no wonder the poor woman or the poor guy could never get past all of these judgments to actually be in relationship with me in the first place, because I've already decided they are X, Y, and Z. By looking at some of your decisions X, Y, and Z are, then you have the possibility to change them.
Right. Yes. You're not changing yourself per se or the other person.
Well, you are changing you because you're changing your point of view.
Right.
About the other sex. Yeah.
Right. But perspective is kind of one of those things that when the light bulb comes on, it comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it sticks. Versus, it's going to take me 25 years till I'm able to have whatever X, Y, or Z because I got to do this first. That's
and because is always a reason and justification.
Yeah. So perspective is something we can switch in an instant if we choose to do so. Would you say? Yeah.
Yeah. You're calling it perspective. I call it your point of view. Because the way you look at things, your point of view, is what creates your reality.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you have the point of view, all men are jerks, who are you going to attract?
Jerks.
Yeah.
Fill your destiny there that you're creating.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. I love it. I love it. Sorry, I sing when I get happy.
That's okay.
No, it's a great. So my husband just got home, by the way, so he's chasing me around the house while I'm trying to do a show. but it's a great. It's a great opportunity for humans and humanoids alike to really examine and take a good look at what makes us and what we want to do with that.
Mm-hmm. What would you really like your life to be like?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to just do with, you know, when you say relationship, you talk about our relationship as a distance. We can't have communion with just one person, and it has to be. Now, would you say that, this is going out, you know, to, I'm not trying to put you in between a rock and a hard place. It's just a question. So now, would you say that there are aspects of our idea of marriage where it's just one person and another person looking at each other as that only person forever, would you say that there has to be other things, obviously, to flesh out a marriage? Does that include other people?
It can, but it doesn't have to. And it also, I would say it's wonderful to include other people, but it doesn't have to include copulation with other people.
Right.
It can. I haven't seen very many open marriages that actually work. Usually it becomes an open marriage on the route to ending the marriage, and one person wants to play around and the other one doesn't. And it's okay if they play around, but if the other one does, then there's trouble. That's usually the way it goes. I'm not saying it has to go that way. I'm not saying there have to be any rules except do what works for you. If you're having fun, if you're enjoying being with your partner now, then that's a sign, that's the best prediction of it, that it's going to work in the future. If he's driving you crazy now, why do you think it's going to be different tomorrow?
Right.
Why do you think it's going to be different if you get a ring or if you get engaged or if you get married or if you have a second kid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those are all Band-Aids.
Yeah.
For a leaky boat. But, you know, we're talking about, here we are talking about how Florida can save your marriage and how, you know, certain things can change the way, the dynamic of that marriage. So even though today may look a certain way or had looked previously to this moment, it doesn't mean it has to continue to look that way.
Right.
If you're,
and
if
actually
you're
it needs to change.
Yeah.
It needs to change because
mm-hmm.
if you want to stay with somebody, you're not going to be the same person 10 years from now or 20 years from now.
Absolutely.
We're
Absolutely.
Not the same people that married each other 30 years ago.
Right.
But I never demanded that he change. He's been free to change however he changes, as have I.
Right. And you've encouraged and supported and accepted his need to grow.
Yeah, whatever he wants to do is okay with me.
Right, because you love him.
Yeah, and there's some things.
And you want the same for yourself.
Right. He does some things I don't like, but oh well. Is that worth
There's always stuff that we don't like about each other. We can't always like everything about each other.
Right.
Right? I mean, yeah.
Right.
That'd be odd. Yeah, some things you're just going to let go and figure it. That doesn't. It's not theirs, it's yours. If it bothers you that much, there must be something that you can do to change that in yourself. Find a hobby. I don't know. Right?
Or,
that's what I decided.
Or the relationship is over. If it's something you can't live with, then
well,
the relationship's over, so why are you still putting a Band-Aid on it?
Right, you do have to honor yourself knowing whether or not this is a deal-breaker or not.
Exactly.
You know, whether that particular something is a deal, you know, is it sometimes annoying or sometimes unwanted, or is it just like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, yeah. So, yeah, so great. I love the fact that we've covered so much stuff in such a short period of time. And I'm going to just announce one more time that if you want to call in, it's 917-889-2854. I don't know if you had something in particular that you'd like to cover right now, or we can take a break and come back. How are you feeling about that?
Whatever you like. I'll just say I do have a website. It's called thelittleblackbookonrelationships.com. Mysteriously enough, people can download the first two chapters of the book. They can, I think there's some free classes with me they can download. There's a lot of stuff there for them. They can email me.
Okay, so once again, it's thelittleblackbookonrelationships.com. And
yep,
you said the first
and that's
two
the name of the book, too, which is
download.
Available on Amazon. Yeah.
And it's awesome. It's an awesome book. It's really very, it's very outside the box of what you would think. you know, a lot of stuff that we just don't think of because of that, you know, that four-letter word expectation. But it's
never
it's
your
really
friend.
So let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back, and at that time, if we have some callers, we'll put you on it with a few calls and see how that goes. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in 5. Thank you.
Okay.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man. And striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turn. And thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
right. We're back. Thank you for taking that five-minute break with us. We have Dr. Casey Crisp on with us, The Little Black Book on Relationships. You can go to her website, thelittleblackbookonrelationships.com, and preview her book, two chapters, for free. Here she is, Dr. Casey Crisp, once again.
Thanks, Laura. It's great to be here. How much fun can
great
we have?
Great to have you back. Well, we get about 15 minutes left of the show. I just want to give the opportunity to the audience out there, because I spent the whole show, you know, chatting away in delight with you. So, of course, we're almost nearly out of time. But the guest call-in is 917-889-2854. If you have a question for myself or Dr. Casey Crisp, please do not hesitate to call us in the last 15 minutes here on the show. Again, you can find her at The Little Black Book on relationships.com. Do you have another personal way of getting in touch with you, or just the website?
They can send me an email, Dr. Casey Crisp, KACIECRISP, @gmail.com.
Awesome. So I just want to thank you again for coming on the show. It was really a delight having you, as well as answered a lot of questions that I had personally myself, and, you know, helped me through this period of time that I've been pretty open about having some questions myself on relationship and how that looked in my life and what my role was, you know, how I was playing the part in that, all that. So I think that that's really, for me, has been the question to try to figure out, what is this that I feel, why am I feeling it, and what does that mean, in order to be able to go forward and make those decisions for myself on, is this a deal breaker, or is this an annoyance, or is this my stuff, or, you know, all those things. For me, we're talking about the human versus humanoid perspective, but, you know, obviously I'm looking at it at myself in this situation, because that's what we do, right? We look at ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. And I do want to get back to, I'm going to talk more about, if you don't mind, the idea of a polyamorous relationship. And the only reason why I'm asking you about that is because, do you think in some way, and I know you're not going to make a judgment on anyone, but do you think that we're not only seeking from that one partner, but perhaps we're seeking from several partners even more so what it is that we're not finding within the self, or we're not aware of within the self?
You know what? I spaced out in your question. Can you repeat it? Sorry.
Yeah, probably because it started rambling. Polyamorous relationships, I think that's an interesting concept, because I don't believe we should put all our eggs in one basket, per se, as far as pressuring another person to give us things that they can't give us, and that those relationships still have value. But, you know, so no, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but find different aspects of relationship with different people. I think that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. I'm also,
right,
you know, for the whole monogamous and, you know, one person with another person, I think it's all good. It's all good. It's just what it is you decide for yourself, and your partner decides, of course. But I was wondering, if we're looking at our significant other, the one partner, if we're looking at them to fulfill our needs and then feeling disappointed because they're not, and then we're adding other people to that mix, looking to them then to fulfill our needs. How does that, you know, I guess you could go either way, right?
The more needy you are, the more you can be controlled by whether someone does or doesn't fulfill your needs. What if you
mm-hmm.
were complete unto yourself and function from a place of needlessness, which is a place of freedom, rather than neediness?
Right. Interesting. So how would a person get to that point of perspective? that need listeners' perspective? How does one get there?
In a way, I was there when I met David. So you said, well, how did you get from point A to point B? How did I get to that point? I was in the middle of chiropractic college, and I was going to become a chiropractor whether I met somebody or not. So I was actively creating my life with what I was choosing to do. I didn't need someone else to fulfill it. So he was really an addition to my life rather than fulfilling hole in your life. So when you look for a relationship, or you're looking for somebody to complete some deficit you have, or are you looking for somebody, are you seeing your life as wonderful as it is, and what else is possible to add to it?
Right. Nice. So defining your own personal purpose, whether you're in a relationship now or not, is going to go a long way
Purpose can be a way to judge yourself, too. Oh, am I fulfilling my purpose or not? What if the purpose of life was to have fun?
Well, yeah, absolutely, certainly. I think the purpose of life is to live, and however that looks to you and feels good to you should be as it is.
Right.
So when I use the word purpose, I'm not thinking, you know, what are you giving to others? I'm thinking, what are you giving to yourself? What is fulfilling you and making you happy?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, and dance around. That's purpose to me. I have a purpose, therefore I am. Or I am, and therefore I have purpose.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess that was my question, was how do we get to that place where we're no longer seeking externally, but we're genuinely okay with us? And I think that people will have that question a lot, and that's why I'm asking it. I just don't think I framed it that well at first.
Well, the things that you don't have, is it that they're not, that they don't exist, or is it that you've been refusing to receive them? Because everything exists out there, so if you don't have it, it's not a problem that it doesn't exist. So the problem must be with your refusing to receive it.
Right.
And the same thing could apply to your being complete unto yourself. Are you willing to receive that you are enough?
Yes,
you, the infinite being, are enough without requiring another person to complete you.
Yeah, you, the infinite being, are you enough? I love that. Are you, the infinite being, enough? That is just the best line. That's all you need, really. Right? That's all you need. You, the infinite
being.
Right,
and could an infinite being ever be not enough? It's absurd.
Right. Well, sometimes I give my clients things to write on their bathroom mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Things that, you know, like a lie. If they told themselves a lie about themselves, then we would untell that lie, and we would put it on, you know, I am whatever, I am lovable, I am kind, or whatever they needed at the time. And I'm just being, you know, short with my examples, but I think I'm going to write that on my mirror.
Cool.
You know, me being the infinite being that I am, is there anything that I lack or that I don't have? And why is that? Am I receiving it? Am I allowing myself to receive it as the infinite being that I am? I love it. I do love it. So I'm gonna wrap up the show, Dr. Chris, but I'm going to thank you once again for everything this evening. I'm sure you had an impact on many listeners this evening, but especially on myself, and I appreciate that. Your wisdom is infinite, and I thank you. You're welcome.
Thank
back
you.
On the show
it's been a pleasure. I've had fun, too, so how's it getting better than that?
Awesome. All right, ladies and gents, we're out. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.
Thanks, Laura. It's been fun.
All right. Bye-bye.